Now the topic I would like to discuss with you this morning is my life fully surrendered for God's use? And I think it's very relevant because knowing Singaporeans, our lives are so hectic, we often don't even know what our priorities should be. We just rush along from day to day and we don't even know what we are doing sometimes because we have no clear objective in our minds. Now the first question I'd like you to think about is my life pleasing to God? Secondly, am I living for Him or for myself or for my family? Thirdly, who has first place in my life? Now these are all very relevant questions for a Christian because I know that our life is very short. We are already in the middle of 2017. But are we living a meaningful, purposeful life? That's important for us to consider. You see, these three questions I've suggested that we consider is actually a wake-up call. We have only one life. And at the end of that life, we are going to be judged by God. In fact, Hebrews 9:27, a very important verse to remember, says it very clearly. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In other words, God will expect us to give an account of our lives at the end when we meet Him. Therefore, while we are alive, I think it's important that we examine our lives based on the Word of God. Now, in Matthew 10:37, Jesus actually said these words, and I know a lot of us will find it very difficult to follow what Jesus says. But He actually said these words in Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's very hard for us because we can see our fathers, our mothers, our sons, our daughters. Not to love them and put them as number one can be very difficult. But here Jesus is challenging us. Who deserves first place? Do these parents of yours or your children deserve first place in your life? This is a question we have to ask ourselves. This reminds us of how Abraham was tested by God. Remember in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1 and 2, if you allow me to read for you, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," that's test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." The question is, how is Abraham going to respond to such a command? As fathers and mothers, I wonder how you would respond if God asked you to offer your only son to him in such a way. I believe we all protest. No, 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 that's my only son. But here, we see Abraham responding positively. He said to God, "I will do as you want me to do." And he actually brought his son up to the mountain and was prepared to sacrifice Isaac to God. But of course, we know from the Bible, God stopped him. An angel of the Lord stopped him. And provided a ram to be offered as a sacrifice instead. Did Abraham pass the test, putting God first? Of course he did. No doubt he was tested to the limit. But he passed the test. I wonder if any of us will pass such a test. I think it's very difficult, right? To make such a great sacrifice. But then, Jesus does expect us to give first place to him. You know, in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, Jesus actually declared these words. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. How can we obey this commandment and show that we love him? How? Well, actually, Romans 12:1 gives us an excellent answer to this question, how to show our love for God. Let me read that verse for you. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Why is it called reasonable service? To offer our lives to God for his use. Well, actually, we owe him a debt that we can never repay. You know, if God had not given us his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, where will we be going to? Hell. To suffer forever and ever in the fires of hell. But he demonstrated his love. He gave us the ultimate sacrifice of his only begotten Son to die on our behalf. Can we offer anything of that value, equivalent to what he has offered for us? There's no way. In fact, instead of going to suffer in hell and experience the torment, he has reserved for each and every believer a place in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's really showing God's love for each and every one of us. But the question is, are we prepared to do something in return? Are we prepared to make that sacrifice of offering our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? A lot of us are reluctant. We want to live for ourselves. We want the best for ourselves. No time for God. No time for his service. That will be tragic. Because, you know, at the end of our life, when we meet him face to face, can he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? There's no commendation because you don't deserve anything. You have not done anything for him. On the other hand, if you are really serving him in the remaining days of your life, yes, you deserve that commendation. And my encouragement to each and every one of us is, let's surrender our lives to the Lord for his use. We don't know what his plans are for our individual lives, but we ask and he will direct. He will show us what we need to do with our lives. Now, do you know how Jesus is going to judge us when he returns? Actually, the answer is found very clearly in Matthew chapter 25. Perhaps we can turn to that passage and see what the Bible tells us of how Jesus is going to judge us when he returns. Matthew chapter 25. It's quite a long passage, so perhaps we can read this responsively. From verse 31 to the end of chapter, verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And where saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered and gave me no meat. I was thirsty and gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Together the last two verses. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to judge. And all of us will have to stand before him. Question is, have you done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, from the words that Jesus has spoken, as recorded, we realize that Christian love has to be demonstrated in practical ways, by action. Not, oh, I pray for you, full stop. That is not enough. No, 1 John chapter 3, two verses from there, verse 16 and 18, allow me to read it for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, it has to be demonstrated. So it cannot be, okay, don't worry, I will pray for you. Or don't worry, you should trust God. All words, but no action. In fact, James confirmed that. James 2, verse 14 to 18 also says this. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them nothing, those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, your Christian life must demonstrate the love, the Christian love that you have for your brethren. These verses teach us, all of us who are Christians, we cannot be living for ourselves alone. We have to live for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we also must continue to serve God to the best of our abilities. I'm very pleased to see members of Blessed Hope, the way that you all serve in the church. God is going to reward you for whatever you are doing for the Lord. Don't say, no lah, I do such a small thing. God sees everything, and God will reward you accordingly. And not only that, Jesus reminds us in Matthew 22:39, and the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So don't live for yourself. You must learn to live for others, caring for them, encouraging them, whenever possible, lend them a helping hand so that they too will be encouraged by your generosity, your support, and your help. So Jesus is going to judge us, but he's going to judge according to how we live our lives. We cannot say, I don't know how to serve God. That is not a good reason. If you continue to read the Bible and study it carefully, you will be instructed, because God expects us to live our life and show Christian love. If you don't do that, like I said earlier, you are not going to get that commendation, which all of us are waiting to hear from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think I'll end the devotion at this time, not yet to pass this time. So we will have a short word of prayer, and Pastor can take over. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instructions from your precious word. We know, Father, that truly your desire is that we should love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, because you must have first place in our lives. But we also thank you that you have given us opportunity to serve you and even to learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves, because you want us to live our Christian life in a practical and loving way. Pray that you continue to guide and direct our footsteps each step of the way. We thank you once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.